Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. I'm Lauren and I'm here with Kayleen.
Hi, everyone.
So before we get started, this week we record a couple of episodes in advance. So this week we actually released How Your Parents F You Up pod. And I just wanted to thank everyone. We've had such interesting feedback and conversations. Some people have messaged about how siblings affect your relationship with food or in-laws affect your relationship with food. And it's always fun for us to like sort of, that's part of why we do this, is just to spark that kind of conversation. That was episode 34 that I'm referring to, by the way, if you want to go back and listen. So now we can get started.
Yes. So today we are going to be talking about carbs, which we have an episode on fats that was a popular one back in season one, but there's so much carb confusion out there. So we thought we needed a carb pod.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. Sometimes I'm surprised that certain things we haven't covered already, even though we're this far in. So there's so many approaches or schools of thoughts when it comes to carb. There's, you know, no carb or very, you know, low carb with keto, people who, you know, sort of support whole grains, and just, you know, sort of a lot of different ways to approach them. So today we'll discuss what we're referring to when we, you know, sort of even use the term carb when we work with clients, which carbs we feel are the healthiest, who should have more carbs or fewer carbs. And finally, I can't resist my two cents on gluten.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like with a good percentage of our clients, you provide like a weekly carb budget in their food journal. But are there people like who should eat more carbs or maybe control them a little less?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good place to start, just because we should say off the bat, you know, if you're pregnant, mm-hmm. if you're trying to conceive, you know, if you're an athlete and like working out a few times a week doesn't make you an athlete, if you're young or still growing, you know, it's likely that you'll need more carbs mm-hmm. than somebody who's not in one of those categories. So everybody is different. And conversely, you know, if you have issues with your blood sugar or A1C, if you're diabetic, PCOS, mm-hmm. You're probably going to be, you know, sort of maybe even lower than some of our recommendations will be.
Okay. It's too late for me to become an athlete, right? Maybe I have to start working out again.
I know. It's always so, I'm always like when I do, and they're not super different, but they're, you know, sort of definitely more permissive for pregnant clients.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was joking last night when doctors, you know, at this late stage in life are like, you know, is there a chance you're pregnant? I'm like, well, there's, you know, a chance of a lot of things, but I think I'm at like 1 or 2% at this point. So we'll say no. So yeah, no athlete for you, no pregnancy for me. But I think we just need new terminology when it comes mm-hmm. to carbs, because I think it's just confusing because,
I mean,
we get carbohydrates from fruits and vegetables. We get carbohydrates from obviously the breads and things that people think of, you know, so all of those things have grams of carbs. So when we say carbs for this episode, we're not talking about like a blueberry or broccoli.
We're talking about like the good stuff of bread, pasta, pizza. All my favorites.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd like put those in like the good carb, but they're definitely carbs. You're right. Yeah, I mean, I think in all those like beautiful gifts from God that Kayleen just mentioned, those are made with white flour. And white flour to your body really is almost exactly the same thing as sugar. When we eat these foods, your blood sugar shoots up and then it, you know, just as quickly, precipitously drops. And then two things happen. First, when your blood sugar drops that quickly, you become hungry. And what do you want when you're, you know, hungry and your blood sugar is dropping low? You want carbs or mm-hmm. sugar in order to raise it. And it's not at all in your head when you're on this carb coaster, as we call it, and feel like you're always hungry. Or even clients that are eating lots of carbs and sugar say like, you know, like a salad won't do it mm-hmm. for me. No, it won't do it for you when your blood sugar is that low because you really want something. And then the second thing that happens when you're eating, you know, an abundance of carbs or sugar, and you kind of fill your, you know, stores or glycogen stores for the technical term, is that when you're sort of above that quantity, it's stored as fat.
Mm-hmm.
So these, you know, sort of delicious foods are really not, you know, that healthy for us in terms of what they do, in terms of what you subsequently want, mm-hmm. and also what they do in terms of, you know, body fat or gaining weight.
So you have to jump off the carb coaster.
Yes. Disembark.
Yeah.
And I think there are, of course, exceptions. We mentioned some mm-hmm. of the populations, but for most people can benefit from decreasing their carbs unless they're already super carb conscious.
It might be helpful to explain like how we count carbs at Food Trainers. I know there's lots of people are counting grams of carbs, but that honestly feels a little intense.
Or horrible. Yeah, I saw a friend last week who is, and it's so funny because some people are like, I love the stories that you guys tell. And then I was reading through comments, which you really, we should never do, even though most of them are really nice. And someone was like, you know, they go off on tangents.
Oh man. So,
anyway, here's a tangent. This one's for you. I don't know if I have like a screen name or something. So I was with a friend last week, which is lovely because I feel like I never, that's like a rarity right now. But the second I see my nameless friend, who's probably going to kill me, she whips out, she's doing keto. She's like, you know, that's the, you know, sort of latest thing. So she whips out this carb app on her phone and tells me, she's aiming for 30 grams of carbs. I mean, she was really into it, which is nice. She was feeling great. So I kept my, you know, nutritionist mouth shut. And then I, like, funny enough, she also had like 3 or 4 like pints of vodka dinner and texted me that she was hurting the next day. So how's that keto going? But anyway, you know, it just, there's a lot of people that are sort of counting carbs and counting net carbs. And at Food Trainers, we don't, you know, sort of advocate that our clients weigh, measure, count calories, count grams of carbs, count grams of anything. I think, you know, like my friend, I think it's something that, like, if you want to learn and educate yourself and do something like that in the short run, but like eating just shouldn't involve advanced math.
Yeah. But if carbs are like part of the picture for health and weight, how do you know if you're having too many or if you're not getting enough?
Right. So we definitely, there needs to be some monitoring. You're right. We're not just like, you know, sort of see how it goes, cross your fingers. So think about your food day. So I ask new clients if they're having carbs or grains at 1 meal a day, 2 meals a day, or 3 meals a day. It really gives me a sense of like where they are. And some people will be like at every meal
all
of the day.
Long.
Yeah, all day, every day. And, you know, some people are, you know, sort of carb phobic. So if you are someone who's, you know, just starting to look at your carb intake and having carbs at 3 meals a day, with that kind of a client, I would start with 1 meal a day carb free. So if somebody is having, let's say, you know, an oatmeal breakfast, a sandwich at lunch, and pasta at dinner, for lack of a better carb, I would say like maybe start your day, and we'll get into why this is the case. Like maybe have some carb free breakfast, you know, have an egg breakfast, have some yogurt breakfast, that kind of thing. If you're already, you know, sort of carb conscious, maybe looking to lose weight, a good rule of thumb and just like a very easy rule to apply is to have carbs once a day to start. I mean, these are broad guidelines. It depends on, you know, age, gender, size. Some people do better with, you know, sort of fewer carbs and some people don't. But that's just like a very good rule of thumb.
Yeah. And which carbs would you say are like the best? I'm assuming it's not the healthiest to have your one carb a day be like pasta every night for dinner.
No, but it's definitely one of those if life had no rules. I mean, I'd probably be pizza every night if life had. What about you? What would be your like
pizza,
dream carb?
Number one.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just, there's really few things better. I will say actually that like, even though we'll explain, you know, our thoughts on gluten and good carbs, but if you do go like head to head, like breadbasket or pasta, pasta does edge out in terms of, you know, from a glycemic perspective, pasta is a little bit better than bread, probably not the portion most people eat. pasta in. But again, those are, you know, sort of those white carbs that are going to put you on that carb coaster. The best carbs, in my opinion, would be, you know, sort of what people think of as good carbs, which is like another annoying term. I feel like we use the term like brown carbs a lot, or approved carbs. But again, terminology like the sober curious.
Good, I don't know.
Some things just don't have good names. So to me, your best choices in that category would be a sweet potato, your winter squashes, your butternut, et cetera. Acorn, people are kind of bummed that we count those as carbs. They are lower in carbs when you look at carb content, you know, head to head with a sweet potato, but they're still not like, you know, a broccoli or a cauliflower. They still have some starch. Black rice is one of my favorites. It's also known as forbidden rice, you know, really loaded with antioxidants. your lentils, your peas, your chickpeas, your quinoa, your oats, you know, those that to me would comprise that sort of, you know, good carb or my air quotes, or brown carb list.
I didn't hear pasta in that list though.
No, I mean, we'll talk about sort of where treats and carbs that aren't necessarily on the, you know, sort of best list come in, but they're like in terms, I would say, and don't roll your eyes, that three pastas worth checking out would be banza, which is made from chickpeas. They're coming like a pretty orange package. Pau is like a bean. Pau does bean based pastas and I think lentil based pastas. And then there's tolerant, which does I think chickpea and bean too. So banza, pau, tolerant. I also love capellos, which is
pasta.
Yeah.
Pizza
is good. I used to Carolyn, I think, had pictures of me in at every trade show at the Capello's pizza booth.
That's where I would be
waiting
too.
For them. Yeah, it's really, they make a pizza. They make a chocolate chip cookie dough too. But it's, you know, it's in the frozen section. It's a little pricey. Mm-hmm. They do run specials from time to time, but it's delicious. It's really a lot. It tastes a lot like a white pasta or like a regular pizza.
Good.
You know, I think if I mention like zoodles or zucchini noodles, I'll get, you know, a little bit of pushback. My kids always remind me like those are not noodles. Palmini is, you know, sort of, you know, pasta-like. Oh, yeah. It's made from hearts of palm.
Mm-hmm.
So there are good options, you know, to sort of scratch that pasta itch.
Yeah.
When you're like, if it's a day that you don't want to do sort of the real deal.
I do love banza too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then let's say we're at one meal carb-free or maybe two, like what is a portion or an ideal portion of carbs?
Right. Good question. So Kayleen's like always like, you got to answer this. So again, if you're not going to whip out a measuring cup at the table, we just like to give common sense portions. So we say fist and we get pushback about that too, because, you know, sort of that's not really concrete. But I like it because like your fist is proportional to your body.
That's true.
So if you're petite, a fist is sort of, if you were to measure like a little shy of a cup, like 3/4 of a cup, a big guy, that could be like, you know, 1.5 cups.
Mm-hmm.
But to simplify, like for like all intents and purposes, think of a plate. When we're thinking about carbs, your carbs should be, if this is, you know, sort of your one carb a day, about 1/4 of your plate should be carbs. That makes sense?
It does, yes. And one thing I found interesting actually that surprised me when I first started like following food trainers and then working here is that you advise to have carbs at dinner.
Mm. What else surprised you? Don't say.
No, okay. I won't say.
Okay, so yes, you know, and I should preface this section with saying that like the research on like timing and carbs is all over the place. A lot of it is done on athletes, so it doesn't necessarily apply to like, you know, sort of a non-athlete. A lot of it seems to be done on men, and you really could make the case for having carbs at any time of day. So really what a lot of, you know, sort of our philosophy at Food Trainers comes down to is sort of, you know, one part research and one part, you know, just what I've seen works over the years. Let's take different scenarios. If you have, you know, let's say that oatmeal or carb at breakfast, even though that's better than, you know, a bagel or, you know, a muffin or something like that, it's going to take your blood sugar on, you know, much more of like a, you know, a ride, much more of a carb coaster than if you did, let's say, an egg breakfast. And what happens when you do that, when that happens, is that you want more carbs.
Mm.
So when you have a carb-centric breakfast, you're likely to want and then eat more carbs for the rest of the day. And you're also likely to eat just more of everything, more calories. If you have carbs at lunch, I feel that this, you know, sort of, and especially the carbs a lot of people have, but like a carb-heavy lunch, I feel like just exacerbates that afternoon slump. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really, like, do you really want to do a lot of work after you've had like, you know, sort of a carb fest?
I've experienced that.
And, you know, like most of us can't have a siesta, even though that sounds lovely right now. So yes, I suggest carbs at dinner if you're having them.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of satisfy you when you have them at dinner. They help you with sort of after dinner munchies, and which is sort of the witching hour for a lot of people. They do relax you, which I think is a good thing at night, sort of gets you ready to go to sleep. And then overnight, your blood sugar naturally resets so that there's like no coaster, carb coaster. If for those of you who, you know, sort of are, you know, sort of really read up on this, saying, isn't our insulin less efficient at night? Or don't we, you know, sort of, do better with carbs in the morning in terms of how we process them. And so you're right, but I'm definitely not saying like sit down to like, you know, carbonara, you know,
every night,
at night, which would, again, your body, you know, would definitely be storing some of that, you know, as fat. We're saying like, you know, like a human sized sweet potato, you know, that kind of thing. So it doesn't require that much for your body.
Okay. So even though some people out there might feel like you nixed some of their favorite breakfast and lunches.
The truth.
I do like the thought of ending the day with a carb.
I think it's you know, it's a nice ritual at the end of the day and you feel a little bit, you know, feels a little comforting on that kind of thing. So now your turn, since you're like the secret weapon maven, if somebody, you know, if a customer or a client is asking for like supplements or secret weapons, they've listen to the podcast in terms of managing carbs or, you know, what would you suggest?
I think we've seen this a lot. If we're talking about balancing blood sugar, we would recommend apple cider vinegar. So maybe like a teaspoon in your morning water and Ceylon cinnamon too.
Right. Also helps.
Helps with your blood sugar. So we like sprinkle that like in our coffee or maybe a smoothie. We also say to increase good fats when we're trying to cut out carbs or sugar.
You're good.
Right? So MCT oil, we have a really good one, actually, Wild Foods. So having that would be like, or another fab fat, avocado or something like that. But
yeah, Kayleen brought up some really important, you know, sort of as you're trying to navigate having fewer carbs. And so that, you know, there is something called the carb flu when people cut carbs really drastically. To counter that, a really good thing, and I think we probably did mention it on the fat episode, is to like consciously up those what we call fab fats as you're trying to cut back on carbs or on sugar.
I think too, like a lot of cravings, or there's like studies out there that show start in the gut. So a good probiotic is always something that you can add in too, if like carb cravings are a thing. And we do have our Gutsy, which I know we announced.
Our new Gutsy.
New probiotic. So that's another thing you can add in if you're looking for something.
I think, you know, it's always nice to like tackle things from a few different perspectives. So if you're like, okay, I'm going to buy the, you know, black rice and I'm going to try one of the healthier pastas and I'm going to do a little apple cider vinegar. You just kind of have a game plan for, you know, attacking them from all angles. So just because I know that there's always questions on this and it's, you know, sort of one of my favorite topics. So a few words on gluten. As many of you know, if you've listened, I'm gluten-free. It's a long, boring story, but I developed some allergies after I had my first son. But a lot of the products we suggest and the carbs we suggest are, you know, sort of they're without, you know, they're not gluten containing. Wheat, which is the source of a lot of gluten, there's also gluten, which is a protein in rye and barley, is a crop that's heavily sprayed with Roundup. I'm sorry, trouble with that sentence. and funny enough, a doctor that I went to, an integrative doctor, said that a lot of like the symptoms I had been having could have been a reaction to Roundup in wheat, not even to the wheat itself. And really just like for most items with gluten, there's just no health benefits, or we don't have a biological requirement for gluten or for grains for that matter. And I think that if you have skin issues, GI issues, if you suffer from arthritis, you know, you're feeling a lot of brain fog, I'd experiment with cutting gluten out. You can, even if you've had testing and you're not celiac and your tests are normal, you can still react to gluten. And I think about, you know, sort of more than upwards of 2/3 of people do. It's a very common sensitivity. It also affects gluten, even if you don't perceive any problems, affects the lining of our gut. And we all know or are learning about the connection of gut health to immunity and mood. There's a gluten thyroid, especially with Hashimoto's connection. I mean, I've really go on and on. And I just think, you know, if I'm being honest and we're talking about health, I don't think like the ideal diet, like if people are like, should I go gluten-free? Sure. Like, I don't see the counter argument. It's so funny. My younger son, especially, he always says like, I feel so bad for you, mom, that you're gluten-free. And I'm like, well, don't, because, you know, it's like, to not have like the skin rashes I was having, or to not have the GI issues that I was having, you know, sort of, I don't walk around feeling like I'm missing anything. And another thing that we have to say is that when we talk about cutting out gluten, we're not talking about it replacing it with like junky gluten-free. Mm-hmm. You could be consuming a lot of unhealthy gluten-free stuff. Any diet. Yeah. You could be a lot of, we've talked about unhealthy plant-based stuff, mm-hmm. or vegan products. So there's
like the same thing.
An inferior way to do every single diet out there. So, and I don't really eat, a lot of like the gluten-free product. I mean, mm-hmm. we're not like here like saying, we should mainline potato starch. There's a lot of gluten-free breads. I would say that is something that I get. I love, love, love a company called Suki. They do a gluten-free sourdough. Actually, a client turned me on to them. There's also a local company in New York called Need Love. That's Need with a K. Get it? And just if you're curious, if this is a topic you're curious about, I'm a big fan of Dr. Perlmutter's. He's a neurologist who wrote Brain Brain. Mm-hmm. And I just really, I like his information a lot. I think I just rambled. So what's next?
Oh, that was good. Next, we'll do a fun Q&A. So this is from Heidi on Instagram, and she asked or stated thoughts on potatoes.
Thoughts on potatoes. I have so many thoughts on potatoes. I seriously love potatoes. I think it's just so funny when you're always asked or play that like desert island, mm-hmm. what foods would you bring? Like on my desert island, I have potatoes. I would have fries, roasted potatoes if the island had an oven, potatoes, hash browns, potato salad. I could go on and on.
She didn't say list your favorite ways to eat potatoes.
She said potato thoughts. I'm like freestyling. Okay. So in all seriousness, I think that when you think about potatoes, sweet potatoes definitely get a lot of the credit. Actually, this comparison reminds me, I did... Mm-hmm. Forget what, I think it was for a magazine, a comparison of spinach versus kale. Mm-hmm. And when kale was like all the rage, I think that's died down a little bit. But just, spoiler alert, spinach wins on like, in almost every mineral and nutrient. So the same is a little surprising when you look at, sort of a baked potato versus a baked sweet potato. Yes, a baked potato is going to have, more if we go back to those grams of carbs, mm-hmm. it's like 37 for a medium baked potato and 24 for a sweet potato. So it is a little bit, quote, carbier, but fiber-wise, they're very similar. Same, were actually, and that includes eating the skin, in either the baked potato or sweet potato. We were actually surprised when we looked that up. In terms of potassium, which the baked potato, sort of wins by, sort of a mile, versus a sweet potato, which is kind of interesting. Your baked potato, and this goes back to the grams of carbs, it will be a little bit more higher glycemic. Mm-hmm. It'll raise your blood sugar a little more, but a sweet potato raises your blood sugar, it's sort of comparable. Yeah. And just to give you a comparison, so a sweet potato would be a 94 on the glycemic index, and something like black beans would be 30. So it is fairly high glycemic.
High. Yeah.
So I think, eat Heidi on Insta. If you like a baked potato, sort of, or a non-sweet potato, you could definitely go for, I think both of them. I think even though potato, I think people get confused because it's white. Mm-hmm. Like you say, no white carbs, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
But it's still a whole food. It's not a processed food. I think it's so different than eating, sort of a piece of bread.
It's not that type of white.
Exactly. It's brown on the outside. those are my potato thoughts. We could
go on.
I'm contemplating an air fryer. We could, if anybody wants to help me with that, but I probably won't. I've been contemplating for all of quarantine.
I know, so same.
Probably miss my opportunity and the good sales. So again, I think carbs is a huge topic. This is just like a little primer on how we work with carbs. I think people are really getting nutty in terms of grams of carbs and net carbs, mm-hmm. and it's just none of those, sort of anything that's too complicated is just not something that you're going to do long-term. For the long run.
Yeah, I agree.
So that if you, that's where our approach comes from. If you want to get educated in terms of grams of carbs and things like that, have fun. So I think that's it.
That's it. Yes. We'll be back next week.
Next week with another episode. Really, as I said, I do read the comments, even the couple of mean ones that don't like our tangent. So please, rate and review. And we're always grateful. And send us any of your questions.
Thank you.